The work had begun in Melbourne and the school was growing. But the council had been given that this was not to be a permanent location and they were to move out of the city into the countryside. A search committee was appointed, but it was tough going. The cost of suitable land was too high for a small constituency of only 1,000 members, and in many places, they did not want a school on their land. Eventually, they found a 1,500-acre property in Currumbong, New South Wales, offered at the very reasonable price of 14 shillings per acre. After inspecting the soil, they were disappointed. Some of the soil was good, but some was poor and sandy, and the committee was split, some in favor and some opposing. Ellen White was invited to review the land, and after 2 days of inspection and discussion, she suggested that they pray and ask God to give assurance that it was the right location. As they knelt to pray, Ellen White was impressed to pray for the healing of one of the members present who was rapidly declining with tuberculosis. After they prayed, Elder Stephen McCullough said that he had felt a feeling pass through his body like an electric wave. Ellen White said, "The Lord is here. This is the evidence that it is the right place." Also, a few days before she visited the property, she had a dream where she saw a freshly turned furrow and two men examining the soil. They said, "This is not good land. The soil is not favorable." Ellen then looked up and saw her angel. He said, "False witness has been born against this land." He then went on to explain the science of the soil. As the days and weeks passed on, some of those present began to weaken and question the quality of the soil, and so it was proposed to get a government inspector out to look at the soil. Mr. A.H. Benson inspected the soil, and later on over dinner, he commented that the soil was useless and they will be better off forfeiting their deposit than going ahead with the purchase. He said that if a bandicoot or a small rabbit was to cross this particular tract of land, he would find it necessary to carry his lunch with him. After he wrote his report, it was shown to Ellen White, to which she replied, "Is there not a God in Israel to inquire of, that we must go to the God of Ekron?" She went on to tell the brethren that they could continue looking for a new site if they wanted to, and if they found something suitable, to show her, but her heart was at peace with the current location. The leaders decided to move ahead with the purchase. The next challenge was to find the money and to build. The first building built was literally out of the land, and it was a small dormitory, dining room, and kitchen. Short on funds, they asked for volunteers to finish the work, and amongst those who responded was S.N. Haskell and his wife Hetty. Working at night, one would hold the candle while the other would drive in the nails. Ellen commented that the women worked until the hands blistered and they would rub Vaseline on so they could continue working, and thus the college was built amidst toil, sacrifice and hardship by the new and small church in Australia. April the 28th, 1897, saw the first day for the Avondale School for Christian Workers, and they started with 4 teachers and 10 students, rising to 60 by the end of the first term. Truly, it can be said, who has despised the day of small things? Despite the small number of students and staff, this school would go on to have a huge impact in the South Pacific and key to the many missionaries who went to the surrounding islands. In 1911, the name would change to the Australasian Missionary College, and in 1964, the name would change again to Avondale College. The school was built on land that the government deemed to be unusable, and yet this prediction proved to be untrue. God always knows best, and allowing him to lead in our decisions, whether that's personal or church-wide, is always the best way, even when it seems to make no sense to us. May we be sensitive to his spirit and able to tell his voice as he leads us.